Sehr bitte, bitte.
We take the reading today from Ephesians, which is for the divine mercy encounter. This is what we base. This is our scripture verse for the divine mercy encounter. And it begins chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, isn't that great? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own. It is a gift of God. It's not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. The word of the Lord. How are you? Today, as we come and we focus on mercy. You know, if you've listened to my homilies, especially this last week, I've been quite strong in focusing on the reality that this isn't what we do for God, but what God does for us. And I've been frustrated, and I've been, you know, today I was sitting before the blessed sacrament just praying and saying, Lord, I don't get it. How have we taken your grace and made it something selfish? That this is something I gotta do. It's something I gotta earn. Even, you know, this past week I talked about we all need to be in relationship with Jesus. We need to have an experience of Jesus. It was quite a strong homily. It was a daily homily, and we put it out in a reel. It's only 59 seconds. But we're not gonna go there. I just want to go to someone who today responded. And this is what he says. And this is what a lot of people would say. You cannot know him or love him without keeping the Ten Commandments and do what Jesus and the apostles taught and practiced. Is that true? Untrue. 100%. Ed, sorry, you're wrong. That was terrible. Terrible, Ed. You see, what happens is a thought like this is for someone who's a Pelagianist. So, if you obey the commandments, if you do what's right, if you do this, then you receive mercy. Then you will know Jesus. It's the opposite. The exact opposite. Once you know Jesus, then you obey the commandments. See, I think that what's been happening is since we don't know mercy ourselves, we think we have to keep earning it. And if you could earn mercy, what's that called? Justice. Mercy is giving something good to someone who doesn't deserve it. Is that not what he says? By grace you have been saved because by God who is rich in mercy, even when you were dead in your transgressions, you're in mortal sin. You're separated from God. Even then, it's mercy that comes and he brought us to life. Even when you were dead. You see, you cannot earn mercy. And until we get it, I will be very frustrated with people. For the people, because if you think that you have to earn mercy, that's what you'll preach to other people. You're not worthy of mercy. None of us are worthy of mercy. And once you come to experience mercy, then the only thing you want to do is give it to others. Period. But see, as long as we have in our mind, no. I obey the commandments, and none of us do it perfectly. And again, as an aside, when Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, is it the Ten Commandments he's talking about? No, what's he talking about? His commandment, and his commandment is love one another as I have loved you. So if you love me, you keep my commandments. My commandments are, you shall love one another as I have loved you. And with that, of course, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. He goes deeper than love one another, than just love others the way you want to be loved. No, no, he goes much deeper. I want you to love others. This is my commandment he gave us right before he died. Love others as I have loved you. And again, God loved us even in our sin. Did he not? It's his love that got you out of your sin, period. And unless you haven't truly got out of your sin yet. Because if you think that you still have to earn it, then Jesus didn't pay for your sins because you're paying for them. And he says, would you get out of the way, please? Would you let me do this? Would you let me die for you? Would you let this happen, please? And then once you let Jesus pay for your sins, now you're free. So now you want to just be giving mercy to everybody else, huh? That's what the Holy Father keeps trying to teach us. And instead of receiving that from the Holy Father, which is all absolutely from God, we dismiss him as a heretic or a nutcase. Oh, he's too merciful. You can never be too merciful. God wasn't. When we were still in sin, he paid the price. We didn't earn it. He gave it. And see, again, it goes back all the way to the Old Testament. Again, we've talked about this before. But before God gave the commandments, what did he do? He set his people free from slavery. Again and again and again, we try to put commandments on people who have never been set free from their slavery to sin. That's why it doesn't work. Again, the people that go to confession all the time, and I always say to them, so you go to confession every week. Yes, Father. Why? Because I have all these sins. Has it worked? Have you been set free from those sins because you go to confession all the time? It's amazing. I've been hearing confessions for almost 35 years now. Next month, this month, it'll be 35 years I've been ordained. Whoa. And it's amazing to me that the same people come in and confess the same sins all the time. Why? They're going to confession all the time because they feel guilty because they still think they got to earn it. They still think that I'm going to try harder, Father. Excuse-moi. I'm going to try harder, Father, and harder and harder. And you try harder and harder, and you come back. You could come back the next day or a week. Nothing's changed because you are a Pelagianist. You think you got to earn it. Once you let Jesus Christ give you his mercy, what I really would like today for all of us is for us to immerse ourselves in the mercy of God. To feel it. To experience it. To let yourself get wrinkly in mercy. Again, you ever taken a bath? And you stayed in there so long you get all wrinkles? Well, do that today with mercy. Not for yourself. Again and again and again, as I've said, mercy isn't mercy until it's given away. Mercy can never be for yourself only. Again and again and again, if you go to Israel, and we're going again this next May, you come with us, if they're not killing each other every moment of every day over there. But when we go over there, I'll go to Galilee, and I'll sit there and say, everybody, now look at here. You see what Galilee, it's filled with life. And we stay right on Galilee, where the very place Mary Magdalene came from, the place that Jesus walked. We're right there, and we get to spend 2 nights there. And you can sit there and jump in the water if you want. And it's filled with life. Why is it filled with life? Because it receives and it gives. It receives water and it gives water. When we then go to the Dead Sea that some of people like to jump in, I have never jumped in and I never will. It's disgusting. It's all dead. Why? Because the only thing it does is receive. Too often on this day of divine mercy, we just want to receive it. But it dies. It has to be given. As I've said before, you put one hand into the heart of Christ right there. And again, I love this, I love this, I love this. When you look at the divine mercy, again, look at his eyes. His eyes are looking down. Why? He's looking to us from the cross. And then when he's cut open, the blood and water come out and the water flow. The mercy flows. We take one hand and we place it in his heart. And the mercy of God comes into us and fills us. We get wrinkly in mercy, but we can't stay there. We reach out the other hand to the people in the world who need it. And then the mercy of God flows through us to others. And then it's a constant source. We're always filled with mercy because we're always given mercy. The moment you sit there and say, no, I got to stay in mercy first. Well, first you do, but you can't let it stick there. So I'd encourage you to allow yourself to get wrinkly today in the mercy of God so that it can then overflow. No one's going to, again, if we only love people for what they do, then we use them. And we got to stop saying we love them. We must love others without condition. They're going to make us mad. They're going to irritate us. They're going to do things that are against everything in our being. But if we say, I will not love you now because you've gone against everything in my being, we never love them. To love like God means we love them even in the midst of their sin. And it's the love of God through us that will set them free from their slavery. And when they're set free from their slavery, then they'll follow the commandments. I was once in Akron giving a Theology on Tap talk. And then so I gave my talk, and it was all young adults there. And there was one guy that grabbed afterwards, we heard questions. And that's usually when I get in the most trouble because people don't like my answers. They want me to agree with them. And I think everybody here knows by now I don't agree with most what people say. So if you ask a question and you're leading looking for an answer, I'll probably give you a different answer than what you're looking for. So this guy stood up and he says, Father, how are we going to stop people from having sex before marriage? Now, when I was younger and I taught at prep, I would sit there and tell those boys, I'd make them quote Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. Make no mistake about it, no fornicator, no unclean or lustful person, in effect an idolater of any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no one deceive you by worthless arguments. These are sins that bring down God's wrath on the disobedient. Therefore, have nothing to do with them. I have many talks out on that. And guess what? It never stopped them. They came to me one day, I'll never forget one kid. I said, you know, son, if you keep doing that, you're going to hell. And he looked at me and says, that's okay, Father. All my friends will be there. It didn't stop them. If the only reason, again, you stop sinning is so you don't go to hell, who do you love? Yourself. It's ultimately selfishness. And see, somewhere in Christianity, somewhere in my heart and yours, we got to know that God has no room for selfishness in our spirituality or in our walk. Selfishness has absolutely no room in God's heart. So we got to be unselfish in my personal spirituality, in my spirituality, how I deal with the great sinners. I love them. I give them mercy. I was talking at the masses today about this guy who went across the world carrying the cross, bringing the love of God and the mercy of God. The only thing he ever talked about was people, was the cross. And he said, to look at the cross is to know the love of God. Because at the cross is where Jesus paid for your sins. At the cross is where mercy came. And so he'd give it to everybody. One guy says, I will shoot you if you take another step. He says, I will keep loving you and I will die for the cross. And then he prayed with him and gave his life to Christ. Amazing, isn't it? But one of the things that made me so sad is he was walking through Africa and it took him months and it was very hot. And someone told him there was a missionary place of Christians. Now, he didn't say whether it was a Catholic monastery or a bunch of Protestant missions. I don't know. But he got there finally, And the only thing he wanted was to take a day to be in some air conditioning because he was out in the terrible over 100 degree hot and walked in it. And he sat there and says, I heard you have a retreat place for the missionaries. Could I spend one night? I'll gladly pay. And they says, of course not. This isn't just for people to walk up and stay. This is for missionaries. He says, well, I've been proclaiming the gospel for 2 months. I'm an ordained missionary. Nope, it's only for us. And so he started to sob. And when he's telling the story, he's sobbing. And it's making me feel horrible. I'm thinking, oh, please don't let me. Please, wasn't that a Catholic church? Please don't let me there. So anyway, he continues. He's sobbing. And then a car pulls up next to him and says, are you the guy who's been walking for 2 months? And he goes, yes. And he says, well, we're atheists. It was a young couple. But we would love if you'd come and stay at our air-conditioned house. And this atheist couple gave him the mercy of God, where the Christians did not. You see, sometimes we think we're so Christian, but we're not proclaiming the gospel, the good news, that God is rich in mercy, that God loves you even in your sin. And you got to repent. Of course you got to repent. Please, people, never take me out of context. You can always sit there and look at every one of my confession CDs and everything. And we'll talk a lot about sin and who's going to hell for those that like that. Hopefully you don't. There's plenty of that in me. But the only thing that really works, and people, by God's grace, I have brought thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Thousands. Not because of me. You all know I'm a jerk. But because of the grace of God. And so I'm telling you what works and what doesn't. What works is the more we know mercy, the more we can give mercy. And mercy isn't mercy until it's given away. So today I'm going to give us a few minutes here. A few minutes of silence. And I want us to immerse ourselves in the mercy of God. So while you're sitting there looking at Jesus in the most blessed sacrament, you look beyond him who is here and in that image, and you just throw yourself in the mercy of God. You feel it come over you. Let your soul get wrinkly and say, Jesus, help me to know your mercy so I can be a better instrument of mercy. You got it? You going to do it?
Yes.
You better. And by the end of this thing, I better have two guys or two women. I don't care. Here it helps me do adoration. Or we're canceling the next Divine Mercy thing because you can't help me now. You can't help other people later. So I need two people at the end to help me with benediction. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Good. Mercy isn't mercy until it's given away. Let us kneel or let us sit, whatever the Lord calls you, and immerse yourself in the mercy of God.